Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. Jamie's a trooper this morning. She's joining us coming right back from the dentist. Way to go, Jamie. Glad to have everybody joining us this morning. We're talking some Packers football. The title of today's show, Packers and Charity. The Packers are in the midst of their tailgate tour, their goodwill tour across the state. Also, the Packers charity basketball team playing a game last night in Green Bay against the local police department. Both of these things, raising money for charities in Green Bay, raising money for the police department on the tailgate tour. Every day, they're raising money for a different charity. Yesterday, the Boys and Girls Club of Kenosha, Wisconsin. While they're in Madison, they were raising money for the Ronald McDonald House. Tonight, they're in Cedarburg and Grafton, Wisconsin, raising money for Portal Inc., a local charity nonprofit that does work with developmentally disabled adults. So really fantastic stuff. And tomorrow they're heading to Door County, Sturgeon Bay, I believe. Going to be building a house for Habitat for Humanity. Lots of cool things the Packers do like this. Really, I mean this is why a big reason I'm a Packer fan. You know, I don't know. I assume other teams do stuff like this, but the Packers seem to do it perhaps more often. You know, or you know, I shouldn't say that, but I mean, I just follow the Packers closely, but you know, I don't see these other things publicized at least as much by other teams, and that's just probably because I don't live there. But regardless, cool things they're doing all the time. But anyhow, kind of while we're talking about the tailgate tour on that topic, I see the question here from Chazman on our live blog. And it's got a question here. I'll read it. Notice that Mark Murphy is talking once again about retiring Favre's number in a year or two. Is there some pressing need for the front office to continually bring this up? Not trying to start a should he have his number retired debate, just asking why the organization feels to address this every year. And I guess I'll address that question. And the reason Mark Murphy's bringing it up is because he was asked a question. It all came about as part of the tailgate tour. Pretty much everywhere they go, they kind of have like a question and answer session in which not just Mark Murphy, but the players he brings along on the tour, current and former, like guys on this year's tour, wide receiver Jordy Nelson, safety Charlie Peppra, kicker Mason Crosby, and some of the alumni, Larry McCarron, William Henderson, Marco Rivera, they take part in these Q&A sessions. And so, you know, they get asked questions from across the spectrum, you know, all the time. And so I think where this came from was a fan asked Mark Murphy about, you know, retiring Favre's number, when they're going to do it. And so, you know, it wasn't Mark Murphy out of the blue feeling the need to address this. But his answer was somewhat surprising, you know, in terms of that he said he gave a time frame for when they plan to retire his number, saying in a year or two. I don't think anybody's come out and kind of put a time frame on it before. So that kind of caught everybody a little bit by surprise. And that's why you're hearing about it now. I think ProFootballTalk.com had left a message about that this morning, or, you know, made a post about it We actually made a post about it here at Cheesehead TV yesterday when the news broke. One of our great beat guys, Zach Cruz, posting on that. So you can check that out here on the Cheesehead TV archives. But yeah, so that's where all the information came about regarding Brett Favre. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I always knew they would retire Brett Favre's number eventually. I guess I'm surprised that it would be happening a year or two. I guess I thought maybe it'll be happening later. I kind of thought there'd probably be by about the time he's joining the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Maybe at that time, it'll just kind of be a media blitz or the publicity blitz. All sorts of things. They'll induct him into the Packers Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, retire his number all in 1 year, perhaps get it out of the way. But anyhow, so a year or two, expect that. It'll be a big event. I'm not sure all bad feelings will be assuaged by then, totally, entirely, but anyhow. Question from Kurt Kozat on the live blog. What did you think of the cryptic tweet that Driver made yesterday? You know, Donald Driver yesterday kind of created a stir. Posted to Twitter on Thursday something about... does anybody have the text exactly if you want to post it on the live blog? Something like, I'm going to be a Packer forever. Just kind of out of the blue. And so, I mean, what does that mean? I mean, people were all of a sudden kind of reading into this tweet, wondering, is he retiring? And that means, you know, it's, seeing as he spent his entire career with the Packers, he's going to be a Packer forever. Did the Packers cut him? Or what does this mean? You know, it's, I'm not exactly sure. Here Jamie Jor's posts the text verbatim. Hello, everyone. I'm a Packer for life. It will never change. Go Pack, go. Yeah, I mean, it just really came out of the blue. Like, why did you say this? And I'm sure Donald Driver probably regrets posting that, or at least, you know, that posting it in such a weird, cryptic way. I don't know how else to describe that message. But so anyway, all of a sudden, people start looking into it, and a couple members of the local media went out and, you know, kind of talked to Driver's agent, Jordan Woy, about what does this mean? Is Driver retiring? Or, you know, what? Why does he say this? And so Andrew Brandt, of course, the former Packers vice president, now currently works at ESPN and the National Football Post, and then Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com also talked to his agent, and basically his agent hinted at that Driver could be receiving a restructured contract when Dancing with the Stars is all said and done with, and they only got one more week here. So next week, you know, what is it, Monday or Tuesday? How's it work next week? Anybody know? Because... you know, I knew in the past that they performed on Monday and got the results on Tuesday. Is that still the way it's working this week? I mean, because it's the final. I mean, there's nobody left to vote off. You're just voting for a winner, I think. Jamie says, I believe it's the same. Okay, so Donald's going to be done with Dancing with the Stars this week. I suppose if he does win, perhaps he's probably has some media obligations as well. It's probably written into his contract appearing on the show that he's got to appear on, like, do the talk show rounds and stuff like that, probably. But anyhow, not too much longer. But, you know, when Dancing the Stars is all said and done with, he'll come back to Green Bay. He's got to come back for his softball tournament or softball game, charity softball game in a couple weeks at Fox City Stadium near Appleton, Wisconsin. But yeah, so very soon he'll come back and he'll probably you know, that my prediction, what's going to happen is he's going to agree to some restructured contract, accept a little less money, but the Packers won't cut him. I don't think they should. I think if he wants to come for less money, give him that chance at least. I mean, maybe you find out in training camp he just doesn't have it anymore, and Torrey Gurley, DeAndre Burrell, whoever is really up and coming and worth keeping ahead of him. I'm not sure that that's going to be the case. I still think Donald Driver's a very effective, player in the NFL. He was last year, effective enough to keep on the roster. I think when you combine that with his experience and his leadership, his locker room presence, he's worth keeping around. Now, I do think the Packers can keep 6 wide receivers this year. I certainly don't see that as a problem at all. When these guys are so good, why wouldn't you? You know, I mean, that means, keeping one less player somewhere else, but I don't think that's a bad idea. by all means, keep 6 wide receivers this year. Stash another one on the practice squad again if you want. They will do that. I mean, it might be some rookies who are on the practice squad. Wide receiver is always a position they keep many of in Green Bay. I don't know about other places, but you just go to training camp. There's always like an exorbitant amount of wide receivers on the roster because they need guys to catch balls from the quarterbacks. I mean, drills are like rapid fire when you go to practice. You know, OTAs are next week. You head over to Ray Nitschke practice field next week when they have their open practice. These drills are rapid fire. These quarterbacks are just dropping back again, 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 just throwing passes. So they need guys running routes. So the Packers sign a large amount of wide receivers. I mean, how many do they have on the roster right now after the draft and undrafted free agents signing all that? There's got to be darn near a dozen guys, total. I mean, they're going to cut a lot of them. But I mean, even so, even when the regular season comes around, they'll keep 2 on the practice squad. I would expect those things, to happen. Talking about, keeping 6 wide receivers and then, probably going to have to keep 1 less somewhere else. And it says here, Kurt Cozad comments on the live blog, Corliss is going to have a long road to recovery, keep an extra receiver instead of a tight end. Then Mark follows it up. It says, put Corliss on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. And yeah, you know what? I really anticipate that happening this year, especially after the NFL draft. Mike McCarthy in a press conference, I believe, was asked about Andrew Corliss's progress, how he's doing after, tearing an ACL last year, a gruesome injury that he suffered during a game. And, it basically said he's slow or don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of training camp. And that doesn't surprise me whatsoever, seeing that last year. So, if you're on the physically unable to perform list, what that means is you're not going to practice at all during, right now or during training camp in the July, August timeframe. In fact, you're still not going to practice the first 6 weeks of the NFL season. So, but they can retain the rights to Andrew Corliss as long as he doesn't do all those things. He just continues to rehab and recover, and then maybe after 6 weeks into the season, he's ready to come off the PUP list, and the Packers, they'll have to make a decision then. Either he's ready to play, or they have a choice. They can put him on injured reserve again, in which case he'll be done for the season. He can't play at all. And maybe the injury is so severe they do that. I don't know. That's a long time away from making that decision. Or after 6 weeks into the NFL season, they decide, okay, he's ready to play now. And again, so that buys him time, just more time for him to recover. So, you know, that's, I anticipate that happening. Absolutely. So, but I mean, now if the Packers decide to put him on PUP and they activate him after 6 weeks, then they got a decision to make again. You know, it's one of those cases where if you want Andrew Corliss on the team, then you're going to have to cut someone off the 53-man roster. And sometimes those decisions are made for you. Who knows? I mean, it's football. There's a chance that somebody will get injured during the regular season, and so they'll just put that player in injured reserve and activate Corliss, and you know, that they don't have to make any tough decision. You know, the decision is made for them. But no, if nobody's injured, they'd have to cut someone. So, you know, it's a little bit of a catch-22 there. So what do you do then? Who do you cut to make room for, you know, Andrew Corliss, stuff like that? You never know. I mean, again, we're talking months ahead of time. It's always interesting to speculate a little bit about what could happen, but we really have no clue until things play out, till we know where Andrew Corliss really is in his recovery and you know, the health of other players and how that factors into decisions. So, you know, we will see. We will see. A lot of time to figure out all these things, and you know, starting next week, practice starts. You know, that no contact, but the Packers will actually be practicing as a team. They'll be going through drills, stuff like that. Next week, open practice. I'll have to look that up. In fact, anybody, if they want, on the live blog, if you want to post it on there, when the open practice is, what the date is on that. I'm kind of interested myself. You know, they're practicing all week long next week and for the next several weeks during these OTAs, organized team activities, but only one day is it open to the public. One day they'll go to Ray Nitschke Field and practice in front of the fans, and their, you know, media will cover it as well. The rest of the days they'll probably be inside, like in the Don Hutson Center. No media coverage, nobody will see it, but they will still practice. So, but yeah, one day next week and for the next several weeks, you know, once a week during OTAs, they'll be open to the public. People can see what the Packers are doing. And, you know, it's time to see next week where the rookies fit in, you know, and especially where are they going to be with their reps, you know, when they go through these drills, you know, who's first up in the drill? You know, usually the veteran guys start things out, the guys who know what they're doing, who've been around for a while. But then again, they want to give the best rookies or the guys who have the best chance of seeing playing time the most repetitions. So you kind of see where these guys are in the pecking order. And, you know, of course, a guy like Nick Perry, their first-round draft choice, he'll be getting a lot of reps. He'll be taking part in a lot of drills because they want to get him ready. But, I mean, that's expected with Nick Perry. The perhaps the more interesting part is to see all the other players, the other rookies, and see how much time they're getting to really get an indication of like how ready they are to compete in their rookie year and contribute. You know, it was just interesting. 2 days ago, Mike McCarthy was on Sirius XM satellite radio and talked about all members of the rookie class. And you know, Jason Wilde at ESPNWisconsin.com had transcribed the whole interview, and I saw it. And Mike McCarthy talked about safety, the fourth rounder Jerron McMillian, and talked about how he really stood out or really surprised or, you know, really stood out to the coaches during this past weekend's rookie minicamp. And of course, that's great news to hear, and you hope that he can, you know, be a contributing member of the team his rookie year. I mean, the Packers, after they've released Nick Collins, could use some help at the safety position. And again, we don't know what the Packers are going to do, whether they're going to want to move Charles Woodson around, and we'll kind of stay tuned for that information as well to see whether that's a possibility or what's going to happen there. So, you know, just interesting to watch these things and watch the rookies and see how they fit in and see if they're going to play. But yeah, I mean, you expect Nick Perry to get a lot of playing time. Expect Jarrell Worthy, the defensive lineman, to get a lot of playing time. After that, they're going to have to prove their worth. You know, Casey Hayward, the cornerback, I think he's going to be a good player, but he's going to have to prove it. He's going to have a lot of competition at that cornerback position if he's going to want to get onto the field. You know, take a look at the rookie last year, Devon House. He's going to be chomping at the bit to get some playing time this year. It'll be a battle between them to see who's going to be on the field, who's going to get some playing time. So, and the guys from last year as well, Sam Shields, who's gotten a lot of playing time already, but, you know, kind of had a little bit of a downturn last year. Not a bad season, but, I mean, Sam Shields still is a long way to develop, and who knows? I mean, he could lose playing time if he doesn't, you know, step it up. So, a lot of interesting battles all over the defense, particularly at the cornerback position. You know, Jared Bush. I mean, the Packers, he was a free agent this offseason, and the Packers signed him to a, you know, multi-million dollar contract. So, he's going to be part of their thinking. I mean, just the last game the Packers played, the playoff loss to the Giants, Jared Bush started that game. I mean, he kind of all of a sudden is in their plans at cornerback as well, albeit in a limited role, how he was playing, you know, basically on running downs, more for his physicality than anything as compared to Sam Shields. But he's part of the plans as well. Comment from Oppie on the live blog. Anyone know if Lawrence Guy was eligible to go to that rookie orientation? If so, if he did, was he technically practice squad last season, or was he IR? Lawrence Guy was injured reserve. Yeah, so he spent the entire year on injured reserve. I think technically because of that, he does get an accumulated season. He's considered this year to be a second-year player, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I do not think he was eligible to participate in the rookie orientation camp. You know, that's my guess. I do know he didn't participate in it. It's just based upon reports I saw about who is taking part in rookie orientation camp. Lawrence Guy was not. But yeah, he's another interesting guy to really see where he is in his progress. You know, he had to sit out the whole last year because of concussions. And you know, unfortunate that had to happen. But, you know, the good news for Lawrence Guy is he stuck around all year and I'm sure learned quite a bit, at least learned the Packers' defense, their schemes, what they're doing, even though he didn't take part in it from a physical aspect, at least from a mental one. You know, he was around and, you know, he's got a chance to win a job this year. And you know, who knows what's going to happen. There's going to be some major changes on the Packers' defensive line, I think. Of course, especially, you know, there's these suspensions that are going to take place with Tony Hargrove, Mike Neal. They can't participate at the beginning of the year. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with these guys kind of on the fence. Guys like Jarius Wynn and C.J. Wilson, those guys are going to be fighting for jobs. You know, I'm not going to say one way or the other whether they're going to make it or not. But, you know, everybody's going to be fighting for a job, from them to Lawrence Guy to the rookies this year, Jarrell Worthy and Mike Daniels. I mean, you can pencil in Jarrell Worthy for a roster spot even if he flops, just because they're not going to give up on a second-round draft choice so early. But, you know, everybody else will be fighting for jobs and fighting for playing time. So, You know, it's exciting to see these battles and what's going to play out just starting next week. So here we are on a Friday, and the tailgate tour wraps up this week. And you know, here on for about the next month, it's all about competition. It's all about practice. So getting to see what these guys have on the field. And you know, that's it just gets it's gonna get a little bit better here every week as you start seeing action from a football fan standpoint. As you start to see action, you're gonna be reading a lot more in the newspapers and online and stuff like that about things that are happening in Green Bay. So about for the next month, that's gonna happen. And there's a little bit of lull in the month of July, you know, from about the time they wrap up. You know, camp, mini camp from about mid-June to late July. A little bit of a lull in which there's a whole, not a whole heck of a lot happening. They take a little break before training camp starts up again, but at least for the next month here, a lot of action going on and practices going on, stuff like that. So that's what you got to look forward to the next week. So, thank you everybody so much here for joining us here on Railbird Central today. It's Friday. We're taking off for the weekend here. Hope everybody has a good weekend. We'll be back once again next week. Monday morning, we'll be back again for the next episode of Railbird Central, in which we'll be talking about OTAs. They won't have practiced yet by Monday morning, but we'll be previewing OTAs at least. And recapping anything that happened over the weekend, whether it's on the tailgate tour or whatever. So, on behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. Have a great weekend, everyone. Make sure to check back at Cheesehead TV all weekend long, all the time for that matter, see our coverage. But leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go.